Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning from St. John's Presbyterian Church. And a special welcome to all those who are joining us via the live stream. And this morning, that includes myself. Over the past week, I've been suffering from COVID, and I'm still not 100%, so I'm not with you in the building this morning, but look forward to our worship this morning as we celebrate Black History Month. And a special welcome to anyone who may be with us because of this particular focus in our worship this morning. We're especially pleased to have Senator Bernadette Clement with us, and she will be introduced to you in more detail later. A couple of brief announcements to draw to your attention. We are preparing for the annual meeting, so please, last week, to get your reports into the church office for inclusion in the annual report. The confirmation meeting that was supposed to happen last Sunday evening didn't happen because of both inclement weather and the fact that I wasn't feeling well by the time Sunday evening rolled around. So we will be meeting this evening with the confirmands and their parents to go over some of the material that we will be covering in the confirmation class this year. Because of my health, we will be doing this via Zoom. If you are interested and have not received the Zoom link, please contact me through my email, and I will ensure that that gets out to you this afternoon. Finally, the Bible study will be beginning, at the end of the month of February, so those who might like to have one of the books as we continue studying in the Gospel of John, please contact me. And also anyone who would like to join, please don't feel that you had to be with us in the first half to join the study. You're more than welcome to join with us now, and I'm sure you will quickly be brought up to speed. As we come and worship this day, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Jesus Christ is the light of the world and that we, as his followers, walk in his light. Let us worship the Lord.
We gather this day because God has invited us. Please join me in the responsive call to worship, which shall appear on the screens. The lost and the lonely. We gather this day because God has invited us, the lost and the lonely, with friends and with family, those who bear burdens and feel the weight of the world on their shoulders, those who are comfortable and live lives of privilege. Here in God's house, all are welcome. The weak will find strength and the strong will find humility because loving God, you sent Jesus Christ to deliver us from all manner of injustices and inequalities. As we gather this day, create in us new hearts and enlarged visions to see the image of God in every person, irrespective of background, race, and ethnicity. We pray all these things in the unity of the Holy Spirit, which draws us together through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand as we sing the opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. It's number 299 in your book of praise, and the words shall be on the screen.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy, holy,
Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin to God and to one another as we say the prayer of confession as it appears on the screen. Gracious God, in Christ Jesus, you teach us to love our neighbors. But instead, we build dividing walls of hostility. You show us how to love one another as sisters and brothers. But instead, we hide from our own human family. You ask us to seek out the stranger and welcome the guest. You want us to share your abundant gifts with the poor, but instead, we cling tightly to our possessions and our privilege. You call us to proclaim good news to all people, but instead, we waste our words and hide our light. Lord, our loving God, have mercy on us. Forgive our sin, open our hearts, and change our lives. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, make us holy and whole, one people united in faith, hope, and love, through Jesus Christ, our reconciler and redeemer. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, we have been justified through faith and welcomed as children of God. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Let us stand together and sing the hymn number 475, I am the church, you are the church.
Jesus, all around the world, yes, we're the church together.
Reverend Adams is going to present the time with the young and young at heart on the screens.
Have you ever watched a superhero movie and thought, gee, I wish I had a superpower? I was watching some video clips the other day, and there was one from the Harry Potter movies where Harry and his friends were underneath Harry's invisibility cloak. It was kind of his superpower, and it allowed Harry and Hermione and Ron Weasley to move around the college and to find places, to go places that they might not otherwise be able to go. Wouldn't it be great if you had a superpower, something like invisibility?
Imagine what fun you could have if no one could see you and you could do whatever you wanted to do.
Invisibility may seem like something that's kind of fun, but there's also a downside to invisibility and not being able to be seen. As we come today and we celebrate Black History Month, we remember that there are many people in our society who are invisible, people who don't look like other people, people who may not have had influence and power like they have in the past. But we also acknowledge that times are changing and that things are happening all around us. This morning in our gospel lesson, we're going to hear the story once more of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is a surprising story to the people who hear it. It's surprising because the Samaritan was one of those people that was invisible in his society. He didn't have any power. He belonged to a group of people who really weren't respected. And yet Jesus uses him to do wonderful things and hold him up in this story as the one who is the neighbor for others. As we go about our daily lives, meeting all kinds of different people, people who may be different from us in all kinds of different ways, let us remember that all of them have the potential to be our neighbors and to reach out to them in love and kindness. Let's hope that we can all work so that no one in our society is invisible.
Eternal God, in the reading of the scripture, may your word be heard in the meditations of our hearts. May your word be known, and in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. Amen.
Today we have four scripture readings, starting with the Old Testament. But before I start, I'd like to welcome my kids from Japan who are looking at us. Konnichiwa. And my sister in Trinidad. Hey, Wapnin, get outside and do some work. That's my official greeting to them. And of course, I have friends in Quebec. Bonjour, bienvenue, c'est Severus, ici à St. John's à Cornwall. Merci. Our first reading from the Old Testament is taken from Isaiah. Chapter 61, verses 1 to 8. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines, but you shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory, because their shame was double, and dishonor was proclaimed as their lot. Therefore in their land they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense. and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Our second reading is from the Old Testament, Psalms 66, verses 1 to 7, and this will be read responsively. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds! Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds among mortals. Who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations, let the rebellious not exalt themselves. We move now to the New Testament, Galatians chapter 3, verses 21 to 29. Is the law then opposed to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could make alive, then righteousness was indeed come through the law. But the scripture has imprisoned all things under the power of sin, so that what was promised through the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith will be revealed. Therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be reckoned as righteous by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. Heirs according to the promise. And our final reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. This is the word of the Lord. Let us allow the Spirit to fully speak to us as we join in singing, let all the world in every corner sing. This is hymn number 271 in your book of praise. Hymn number 271.
so pleased today to welcome Senator Bernadette Clement to the pulpit at St. John's. Senator Clement is no stranger to St. John's. During her tenure as mayor in Cornwall, Senator Clement was one of the invited guests to read during the CBC's A Christmas Carol. And we are pleased to welcome her again. Senator Clement is a native of Montreal who has spent 32 years as a resident of Cornwall. Upon being called to the bar in 1991, she began work at the Roy McMurtry Legal Clinic here in town, advocating for injured workers and the less privileged in society. She has served as a city councillor and as mayor. As such, she was the first woman to be elected as mayor of Cornwall and the first black woman to serve as a mayor in Ontario. An advocate for inclusion and diversity, we are pleased that Senator Clement is here to reflect with us today as we celebrate the beginning of Black History Month.
Good morning. I love it when people answer. I will also say bonjour and sego. It is special for me to be back here. I have very fond memories of participating and performing stave one of Dickens' A Christmas Carol right here. I've also spent much time here attending concerts and events and funerals, so this place is very meaningful to our community, and it really is truly an honor for me to be here with all of you. So in December of 1995, the House of Commons officially recognized Black History Month in Canada. And that was made following a motion that was put forward by Dr. Jean Augustine, a very special person in the Black Canadian community, the first Black woman to be elected as an MP to the House of Commons in Ottawa. And so since 1995, we have been celebrating Black History Month officially. Every February, people from across Canada come together and talk about the legacy and the history of Black Canadians. And the 2023 theme for Black History Month is Ours to Tell. So it is, again, very fitting for me to be here to tell my story. We're called upon to do that in February, and it's lovely to know that people want to hear our stories, our journeys. It's fitting for me to be telling my story here in Cornwall, in the place that made me the first Black woman mayor in Ontario. Ottawa didn't do that. Kingston didn't do that. Toronto didn't do that. Cornwall did that. Black History Month for me always starts with my pop. So my father is born in February, and so Black History Month and February just all feels very personally fitting for me. He's going to be 101 on February 14th. I told him last night, I'm going to be speaking about you today in church, and he said, yes, you go. He's thrilled. So Pop came to Canada from Trinidad many, many, many decades ago. Trinidad and Tobago. Yes, woohoo! What happening? And he came to Montreal to attend Concordia University. He had dreams of being a teacher here in Canada. And he paid for his education by being a porter on the trains. Many of you may know the history of porters in Canada. There was a CBC series, quite glamorous. My father didn't have all that glamour, but he did work on the trains as a porter for several seasons. He likes to talk about that experience, both in a positive but also in a real way. He got to see this country. He got to travel across this country. And he got to see the beauty of this place that he chose and that had chosen him. But he also got to see the limitations that Canadian society could place on his aspirations, on his dreams and goals. He graduated from university, got his teaching credentials, and he could not find work. It was a struggle. My father is a devout Catholic and attended Mass, attends Mass still. And he went to his priest, a white man, and he said, I can't get work as a teacher here in Montreal. And that priest helped him to get a teaching job with the Montreal Catholic School Commission, as it was known then. And he spent his career as a high school teacher for the Montreal Catholic School Commission, decades, up until his retirement, and still speaks of the help that he got from that priest. It's there that he met my mom, une fière franco-manitobaine. And I just want to pause here and talk about their marriage. They married in 1964, at a time when the marriage between a black person and a white person was still illegal in the U.S. Not illegal in Canada, but certainly not illegal. It's certainly illegal in the U.S. My maternal grandparents didn't attend the wedding. There was difficulty, you know, in understanding that union. It was courageous of them to begin their marriage at that time. The family came together following that, and, you know, we had a very happy and loving coexistence, the black side and the white side of my family. But the beginnings might have been a bit more difficult. Their faith kept them together, kept them strong, gave them that common ground. They didn't have much in common, black, white, French, English, culturally different, but their faith really kept them together. And so again, it's fitting for me to speak of them here in this place, in a church, in a place where we speak about God. The civil rights movement, the work of Martin Luther King, is rooted in faith and in love of God. And I grew up hearing about that in my household. When we were at home, it was safe and loving and caring. And we felt like we belonged together, belonged with each other. But as soon as I stepped out of my house, I felt different. I felt like I didn't fit in. And part of that was because of the questions I would get. Where are you from? Where were you born? I was born in Montreal. I was from Montreal. But this wasn't immediately, I guess, apparent, right? When you don't look like everybody else, people do try to figure out and to maybe try and fit you into a category. And my identity is rather complicated. It doesn't fit into an easy category. And that made me feel sometimes as a young person, as a student, like I didn't fit in. And I spent much of my youth seeking a sense of belonging, trying to figure out where I would belong. I went to university in Ottawa, and I think I left Montreal to try and find a place that where I might belong. And I attended law school there and walked in front of Parliament Hill on a regular basis and never pictured myself there, never imagined that I could one day be in that place. And still as a law student, one of only two black law students in my cohort, still felt lonely and not quite sure where I would fit in. And then a job opened up at the Roy McMurtry Legal Clinic, La Clinique Juridique here in Cornwall. So I got on a bus and interviewed for that job back in 1991. And I'm still employed there on a part-time basis. And it's through coming to Cornwall and being in that job that I felt useful, that I felt like I was helpful to community, that I was doing something to help people. I was volunteering with different boards, different community agencies, and the act of being useful and helpful gave me that connection to community. And then in 2006, Domtar closed. A very big event for our community. And I wondered, how are we going to get through this time? And I remember looking at City Council, and there were no women on council at that time. And I had conversations with Councillor Elaine MacDonald at that time. I always shout out to Councillor Elaine MacDonald. Hello, Elaine. And a group of women would get together during that campaign as we ran for council and supported each other and encouraged each other. We were mentored by Councillor Elaine. And a few of us were elected in 2006. It was, again, a way for me to feel useful, to feel connected to community. At that stage of my career, I was representing the children of the clients that I had when I started out at the legal clinic. And I realized that there was a cycle there, a circle of struggle and poverty that we hadn't broken through. And for me to sit around the council table and be able to raise anti-poverty initiatives or to be able to vote on recreation programs that would be accessible to people who couldn't afford them, that felt like systemic work, work that would help just beyond a one-on-one casework type of legal aid practice that I was doing at that time. It took me a while through those years to consider running for mayor. I think it was, again, this wondering if I belonged here, wondering if I would get the positive response to a candidacy. And I remember in 2018 when I ran for mayor, I was counseled not to speak of the fact that I might become the first woman mayor of Cornwall, not to speak of the fact that I might become the first black woman mayor in Ontario. And I listened to that advice. I thought, okay, maybe that's not something that I should speak about. Maybe it's not relevant to this campaign. So I focused my campaign with the other candidates on very traditional municipal issues, right? So taxes, infrastructure, wastewater treatment plant, goose poop in the park, always a big issue. Always a big issue. Snow removal, garbage, recycling, St. Lawrence River, waterfront, all the traditional issues. And the night of the election, all the media showed up, Radio-Canada, CBC, and CTV, and they were all, "You're the first." People in Cornwall were like, "Huh? We just elected Bernadette. We elected somebody that we know. We elected somebody that we know loves where she lives." And in my interviews, I would say to people, because they would ask, like, "How come Cornwall did this?" Well, Cornwall, you know, elected what is likely to have been the first Jewish mayor in Canada, Mayor Horowitz, a beloved figure. So there's something about Cornwall, I think, that I just want to say is probably very special. Again, we recognize people who love where they live. During the campaign, I had one moment that pushed me into a different place around my identity as a black woman. I was campaigning with Edith Sturgeon, and she had her little sister with her, Jersey, and I have permission from Jersey and from Jersey's mom to speak of Jersey, and I do often. So she was sitting in the back seat of the car, and we were talking about door knocking and the campaign. And she leaned forward and she pulled on my hair from the back seat. And she said, "One day I'm going to run for mayor too." And that moment always brings me to tears. I've told it 100 times. But it was a moment for me where I understood that running for mayor is a big deal. And it was a big deal for everyone in Cornwall, because it's important who you elect. But for some people, little girls of color, young women, it had an even more special significance. Jersey has skin like mine and hair like mine. And for her to be able to proclaim that with such confidence, something I wouldn't have been able to do at her age, made me realize that representation matters in what we do. And that really hit home when, as a newish mayor, the pandemic hit. Yes, we're still talking about the pandemic. We will for years. It was tough to be helping to lead this city at that time. And then George Floyd was murdered in the U.S. And that is a moment that obviously sparked many protests and marches in the U.S., in Canada, all over the world. But for Black Canadians, for many of us, it was a particular moment in our own personal histories, a moment where we said to ourselves, we will take up more space in all of the places that we occupy. We will be less invisible. You heard the Reverend say that today. And we have been more deliberate in telling our stories and making sure that people understand some of the difficulties and some of the joys and celebrations that we want to have with all of you. So when George Floyd was murdered, 3 young Black women here in Cornwall organized a peaceful march, large march in June of 2020, the bright sunny day. And I was invited to attend and speak and march with the police chief at the time, Police Chief Danny Aikman, and Councillor Elaine was there too. And I was criticized for attending, for being there. Why? Because I had been telling people to stay home, not to gather, to stay safe. And there I was in this march. It felt like 1,000 people were there. And I learned right here in this community about how to talk about my identity from a place of pride, to be able to explain to people that, yes, I'm the mayor for this city, for everyone. But there are moments in time and history where I have to speak as a Black woman, speak about my story, and be at events that speak to that history and to that heritage. And for the most part, Cornwall understood that. Because I belong here, and because this is where I found my place. And when you belong to people, they belong to you. And you can lead and govern and participate and contribute to the best of your ability because you belong, because community has embraced you. And so it is very fitting for me to be in this place, in this church, not just a building, but a place of community, to tell you that sense of belonging is what we need to lean into for ourselves and for others who come and join us in this community, because then they will be able to step up and step into pride of themselves and their heritage and contribute all the more to all of us. So I thank God every day for Cornwall, for this community, and it is from that place of gratitude that I wish you all a happy Black History Month. Merci. Thank you. Nyawa.
for the sake of those who have yet to hear the word of God, for those who are in need of our bounty, and for the discipline that comes with sacrifice, let us bring our tithes and offerings. Thanks be to you, Creator of the universe, for earth and sky, water and rock, creatures and plants, that we may have life enough to live and to offer for others. Thanks be to you, crucified and risen Lord, who shows us the face of God so that we may see in our brothers and sisters a member of Christ's own body and rejoice. Thanks be to you, Holy Spirit, giver of life, who groans within us as we pray and teaches us compassion, that we might love our neighbors as ourselves, accept our offerings as signs of your never-failing care in the name of all that is most precious in your sight. Amen.
Let us pray. Creating God, your creation and all that is in it reveals your truth in all its beauty, in all its difficulty, in all its complexity. You created a world that was rich with myriad types of plants and trees, birds of the air, fish of the sea, plants and organisms. You embrace us in our diversities, loving us, accepting us. We ask you to unite us through the power of your Holy Spirit so that we may work to manifest your presence in creation. Speak in our voices as we raise them in prayer. You, O God, have promised to walk with the oppressed and hold before us all a vision of your kingdom of justice and peace. Illuminate systems of exploitation and injustice. systems that dislocate and enslave. Tear down the monuments we build to ourselves and for ourselves. Cast down self-congratulatory privileges. When we seek to pat ourselves on our back, when we are only doing what we should, or when we are doing nothing and it is you at work of justice playing itself out in our world. Lift us out of missions intended to draw attention to us and lead us into the ongoing work of focusing the eyes of the world on those in need. Most holy God, lead us away from the lofty places, the pretty places, the safe places, and into the streets and alleys, into hospitals rooms with lonely patients, into schoolyards with bullied children, into places we can't see because they are on the margins, but places that are known to you. And in our silence, we pray for those known to us. Gather these prayers in the one Jesus taught us to say when we are together. Our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses.
Let us join together singing the closing hymn. It's not the closing hymn. Singing hymn number 635, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. Go in peace to care for those who cross your path, to give voice to those who need your help, to notice what is beautiful and what is amiss, to counter injustice and guard what is good, and to rest and work mindful of God's desire for your health and faith, and know that God goes with you. Amen.